From the Sky News Centre at 7, the Duke of Sussex has been writing about taking cocaine when he was 17 to try to alter the pre-established order. In his upcoming book Spare, a copy of which has been obtained by Sky News, Prince Harry admits the drug wasn't very fun. Sarah Jane Mee reads another extract where he reveals he and his brother urged their dad not to marry Camilla.
In the book, Prince Harry writes, "That's why, when the question came, Willie and I promised our father that we would welcome Camilla to the family. The only thing we asked for in return was that he didn't marry her."
Labour says the government should be having proper negotiations with union leaders rather than planning a new law covering strikes. Ministers have confirmed they want to bring in legislation covering some public sector workers, meaning there would be minimum safety levels if there are walkouts. Annalise Dodds, who's in Keir Starmer's top team, thinks it'll only make the situation worse.
Most independent observers have said this would lead to, for example, nurses being sacked, teachers being sacked. Why on earth we would want to see that when those services are already under so much pressure? I think it's a really big question for the government.
Ukraine's rejected a 36-hour ceasefire that President Putin's announced to mark the Russian Orthodox Christmas holiday. Kiev says there can't be one until Moscow's forces get off Ukrainian land. It looks like we spent more than expected over Christmas, despite the cost of living crisis. Boots enjoyed a 15% boost in sales, while Greg's numbers were up by a quarter over the year. Chelsea host Manchester City in the Premier League tonight as they look to improve on their position of 10th. City are attempting to claw back Arsenal's 8-point advantage at the top. And famous names, including diver Tom Daley and footballer Jill Scott, will help reveal the nominations for this year's Brit Awards. The event will be streamed on social media platforms next Thursday. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
All right, it's 2 minutes past seven on a Thursday evening. You are listening to Phoenix 98FM. I'm John Chubb. Welcome into this week's non-league hour. Some music first of all. This is Coldplay and Higher Power.
Sometimes I just can't take it. Can't take it and it isn't alright. I'm not gonna make it. And I think my shoes untied. I'm like a broken record. I'm like a broken record. And I'm not playing right. Just cynical about kill me. Till you tell me on the heavenly phone to hold tight. Come on. I got my hands up shaking just to let you know that you've got a higher power. Got me singing every second, dancing every hour. Oh yeah, you've got a higher power. And she really someone I wanna know. Electric. This boy is electric and you're sparkling like the universe connected. And I'm buzzing night after night after night. This joy is electric. This joy is electric and you're circling through. I'm so happy that I'm alive. Happy I'm alive at the same time as you. Cause you've got a higher power. Got me singing every second, dancing every hour. Oh yeah, you've got a higher power. And you really someone I wanna know.
You got a higher. You got a higher. You got
hands up shaking just to let you know now.
There we go, it's Coldplay and Higher Power. A very good evening to you, hope you're safe and well. I'd like to wish you a happy new year as it's my first show and the first non-league out of 2023. And got a couple of special guests in the studio this evening. Romford of the Essex Senior League are enjoying a great run in the FA Vars this season. They've got to the fourth round and on Saturday week they have a tie away to Jersey Bulls of the Combined Counties League. Going to be talking to my guests about that and some other things to do with their club. In the studio this evening I've got Steve Butterworth, the team manager, and also Joe Sullivan, the club's commercial manager. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Okay, so Steve, how do you feel about how things have gone on the playing side so far this season?
Yeah, if you looked at our cup runs, then you'd say we've been unbelievable. Done very well in the FA Cup, still in the Essex Senior Cup, and obviously still in the Vars, as you were just saying. And on the league front, you could probably call it a bit of indifference, where we've had an up and down season so far, and we've had a lot of catching up to do and still do have. So, yeah, go with indifferent for now, but let's hope we can put that right second half of the season.
Yeah, because look at the league table, you're only in 15th place, which doesn't, on the face of it, sound particularly impressive, but you have played less games in the league than anybody else in the Essex Senior. So do you feel confident that you can sort of gradually catch up on things?
It's a tough one. I mean, a lot of it now has got highlighted on the cup, and obviously, like you were saying, Jersey away in a week or so's time. So the league has taken a backward step almost, as much as I didn't want it to. Everyone's just excited for the FA Vars. So listen, we've got midweek games coming up for the next 3 months. So if we can catch up in terms of games, I think we've got 3 or 4 games in hand over most teams now. If you can win them, then that pushes us right up to sort of 4th, 5th in the league, and then you can sort of push right on. But it is difficult. Every team at non-league level who seems to do well in the FA Cup or FA Trophy or FA Vars always seems to sort of have an indifferent league, and it's no different with us this season.
You must be pleased on the whole though, because you took over as the manager at the end of last season. The club had just been relegated from the ESPN North, having finished rock bottom. So you've managed to kind of steady the ship this season, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was saying before I came here that luckily they had probably the worst season they've ever had last season, and it couldn't get any worse for them. So luckily for me, even if we didn't do as well as we have this year, I don't think the club would have looked too down on it, as it was sort of a rebuilding process. But where we did start so well, the expectations rose straight away, and me personally, I thought we'd be a lot higher in the league, but we ain't. But listen, on a whole, we've had a okay season so far, and I think the next few weeks is massive. It'll define our season. If we can stay in the cup and pick up a couple more wins, I think we can kick right on over the last 3 or 4 months.
And Jersey Bulls, they're another Step 5 club, Combined Counties League. Have you had a chance to have a look at them at all?
Funny enough, they were due to play Croydon away a week before Christmas, and we planned on going to watch, and unfortunately the weather took its toll and the game got postponed. So no is your ultimate answer. We've obviously watched highlights because they film all of our games, so we've watched them, but highlights only give you the good side of things. So we've seen how good they are. We haven't seen how bad they may well be. Who knows? So yeah, it's a little bit of the unknown. But listen, we've lost one cup game, I believe, the whole season so far. And if we go there with that form, then you've got to think we'll have a chance.
Of course, you've also had a good run in the Essex Senior Cup. You're in the fourth round of that, and you've got Hornchurch at Muddy, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, we were trying to put that off for another week, but I think the date has crossed where we've got to fill that fixture in this week, which is not ideal because obviously we wanted to have the best prep for Jersey away, so we're going to have to play Saturday, Monday, and probably utilise the whole squad and use the whole 18. So that we don't lose too many for Jersey Saturday. So, yeah, it's not ideal, but listen, we've done really well in it, and a nice local derby against Hornchurch. We can look forward to it Monday night.
Okay, thanks for now, Steve. We'll come back and talk in a few moments. Bit more music now. This is Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. This is The Message.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
With no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Massive hit way back in 1982, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. That was the message. 14 minutes past 7 on a Thursday evening. It's the non-league hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm John Chubb, here with my special guest this week from Essex Senior League Club Romford, team manager Steve Butterworth and the commercial manager Joe O'Sullivan are with me. I'm going to talk to Joe next. Just some general stuff to do with the club. Joe, you've got some sponsors that you want to thank, I believe.
Yeah, hi John, and good evening everyone. A couple of sponsors I'd really like to thank. Our shirt sponsor this year, King George and Queen's Hospitals Charity. Fantastic work they do at both the Barley Lane, King George, and the Queen's in Romford. Not many people know what that charity is all about. So if they can and choose to, have a little Google, have a little play about and give them a bit of support, that'd be great. Mix and Lay Concrete, based in Raynham, been supporters of the club last year and this year. Brokers Inc. as well, insurance brokers. Cole Romford Dogs, Modern Skips, and the last two are the Coosa Darcy Taverna at Raynham Cherry Tree, and also Carlton Tyres at the Cherry Tree at Raynham. Been supporters of the club for the last 2 years as well. And obviously, it wouldn't be Romford without mentioning the fans, some of which make various donations to the club in help to keep it running. And like many non-league clubs, it's all about the supporters, the regular attendees that aren't there every week, that even from afar send offerings, should we say, and help the club out. And it's the volunteers that keep Romford going.
Great stuff. Just talking about the club in general, one issue you've had for years now is not having a home of your own. You've had various ground sharing arrangements. You're currently playing at Barking, another Essex senior club, at their ground at Maysville Park. I know, I think this is going back a few years now, there's been a site earmarked on London Road in Romford. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that plot of land is still available to the club, I believe. And from my various conversations with other committee members, the chairman, Steve Gardner, Secretary Colin Ewenson, very much Westlands is still very much in the pipeline. There's a couple of options on that. I can't say too much about it for obvious reasons, but there's at least one, if not two, very serious interested parties. And in the next 18 months to 3 years, I would be very surprised if the spade is not in the ground. And hopefully it's probably a 8 to 12 month build time, I would guess. But obviously with inflation the way it is, building costs soaring, as everyone's aware, sure, it might take a little bit more than perhaps we previously budgeted for.
Okay, potentially very good news there then.
We're hopeful, yeah, definitely. This club can't really make the step it wants to make until we get that stadium built and operational.
Well, that's the thing, you've led a sort of nomadic existence for years now. At one point you were playing here at Webwood Centre, you were ground sharing with Thurrock at one time. I mean, it must be very difficult to sort of build a fan base and B, keep your existing fan base going.
Well, this is exactly the problem Romford's had for years. I mean, when I first started following Romford, back in the day, as it were, a few years ago now, when I'd just picked up the non-league baton, as it were, and a game of football's a game of football for me, whether it's Wembley, Maysbrook Park, or Parslow's Park, it doesn't really matter to me. But, as you say, growing a fan base and trying to keep the Romford fan base going to games, it has become difficult. The club's committee's stance on it at the moment is, well, Maysbrook Park does offer us a lot, by the way of always guaranteeing games are on, because of being an AstroTurf pitch. When the season or so that Romford shared over here at Brentwood Arena with Brentwood Town, the games weren't always on. And I think Brentwood have struggled a little bit with their pitch,
yes,
for understandable reasons, which is obviously not particularly beyond their control, isn't it, of course. But going back to the point, trying to grow a fan base when you're not in a fixed environment where you can, somewhere you can call home, and you're at every other week for a game on a Saturday afternoon, isn't ideal.
Sure.
My plan, and obviously what I'd like the committee and Scouse and other people at the club and the fans particularly to get on board with, is that when Westlands is built, what a fantastic afternoon it could be. I mean, you could go to the Romford Dogs straight after a Saturday afternoon game, have a night out with the missus or the lads. And at the same time, it's a cheap afternoon's football for non-league. Do you really want to go to the likes of West Ham, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal and pay eye-watering money?
I was going to say, not at those prices. That's what puts a lot of people off, I think.
I used to be a West Ham season ticket holder, and looking at the prices now, you're thinking, you know, where I used to sit, it's like 60, 65 quid just for the seat.
Yep.
Then you've got to think about the train fare there, the burger, the pint, whatever it might be.
Yep.
You're talking, by the time you add it all up, you're probably talking about 100 to 150 quid day out.
Sure.
Just for one person. You take a family of four, and that's like, you know, you're knocking 250 quid.
Yeah.
Whereas you can go to a Romford game quite easily, two adults, two kids, and we let the kids in for next to nothing, if not nothing, for a lot of the games. I think under 16s are free, if not a pound.
Right.
Nothing. Kids for a quid every day at Romford. But you get change out of 25 or 40 quid.
Excellent.
For a family of four at Romford, which is a really good afternoon out.
Yeah, that's a good way of getting the fans along. And something else you've done to sort of encourage youth to get involved with the club. You understand you've set up a new youth academy recently as well.
Yeah, it's brand new this season, as we were talking about before coming on air. Yourself, me and Scouse here. Me and Scouse are not really that much involved in the youth side of it.
Okay.
It is flourishing at the moment. It's very positive. I've been over and watched a few of the non-league games, the under-19 games and the under-21 games here and there. They play some fantastic stuff. They're physical. They're aggressive. You know, they're scoring goals. They're having fun. The lads, you know. And importantly, they're doing it all on the back of a BTEC sports science course as well.
Oh, okay.
So there's education involved, as well as being almost a semi-pro club and training in the mornings and then, you know, doing the academic side in the afternoon or vice versa. Whatever the setup is, I don't know. I'm not involved in that.
Yeah.
But there's a real pathway developing at Romford Football Club and we're trying to go somewhere. And the best way we can go forward is for Havering Council, when the time is right and we have the money in place, is for them to warp speed, I'll call it, the stadium plans through, so that we can get that first spade in the ground. Once we get that first spade in the ground, you know, and the ground is then developed a short time later, within 12 months, as I said a short time ago, you know, the world really, the non-league world anyway, really could be Romford's oyster.
Yep.
I'd hope to be, if not one, maybe two divisions higher than we currently are now, once that stadium's built. Because then you have the youth setup coming through, which can sustain and push forward and develop players.
And that goes back a long way, doesn't it? Because you've got junior teams from under seven upwards as well.
Yeah. Again, you know, this is the first season. We'll have to see how it goes and takes off, if it continues to flourish next year. But yeah, I mean, things are looking positive. Things are looking positive. As they say, the only way is up, and the only way is Romford.
So, in terms of the stadium, has finance been a stumbling block to getting that built?
It has, yeah, as I alluded to a short time ago, that, you know, with inflation the way it is, you know, 10, 12, 11%, whatever it might be.
Yep.
I was listening to the radio today, and they're saying inflation might get to 15% later on this year. Well, that's eye-watering if it's not now. Those trying to pay bills and still trying to afford to go over to the West Ham, Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea games and let their little Johnny see, you know, Kevin De Bruyne when he comes to play West Ham or whoever it is. That's the big draw. You want to see the big teams, of course.
Sure.
But football's football. And playing at Maysbrook Park, Parslow's Park, Wembley, Brentwood Arena, it's... I'd say it's played all on the same surface. Obviously, some non-league grounds are AstroTurf these days, but it's all played within the same dimensions, as in the playing surface area. But we're about developing the youth systems to bring through future potential players for Romford Football Club. And I think potentially in 18 months, if we've got the planning permission in place for the stadium, and we've got the youth system still thriving and pulling players through, which obviously by that point we should have the under-13s right the way through to under-16s running properly, which are then, you know, they're perhaps 18, 19 going into the first team array. And please, I'd like Scouse to still be there running it all at the first team level in 2-3 years' time.
Okay, it's all sounding very positive. Thanks, Joe. Just got a couple more questions for you, Steve. What are you realistically aiming for on the playing side at the moment?
It's difficult now. We've obviously fell so far behind in the league, and like you say, our league position isn't easy on the eye. It's very difficult to be positive and say we can get in the top two and try and get promoted. I think that's a long way off now. But what we are is what I keep being told, we're four games away from playing at Wembley. And unfortunately, as much as we want to do as well as we can in the league, the cup has now taken over. And listen, as I said, anyone can win four games. We don't play a single team above our level. So on our day, if we can turn up for the next four games, that's our priority. That's the way we'll go.
Do you think you can win the Vast?
I'd be a liar if I said we could.
Brilliant stuff. It's been great speaking with you both tonight. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and particularly with the FA Vars tie, which is going to be a great hour for everybody at the club. Thanks very much for coming in, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks very much, Sean.
John Sharp, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6 p.m. here on Phoenix 98 FM. Just want to say thanks again to my guests, Steve Butterworth and Joe O'Sullivan. Joe has stuck around because it was a couple of other things he wanted to bring up, and so I've got a couple of other questions for him. But I'm just going to go through the results from New Year's Day onwards involving our local sides. First off, focusing on the National League, there was a win for Dagenham and Redbridge on Monday. They travelled to struggling Maidstone United, who are currently in the relegation relegation zone, and they won by 1-0. Josh Walker's got the only goal of the match for the Daggers, 7 minutes from time. And also on Sunday, the day before, Southend United were in action. They travelled to Bromley. The Shrimpers not on a great run at the moment, but they are still in sixth place after a goalless draw at Bromley. And the Daggers, they're currently in eighth place. Meanwhile, in the National League South on New Year's Day, Braintree Town took on Chelmsford City at Cressing Road. Chelmsford had beaten the Iron 2-0 at Melbourne Park on Boxing Day, so this was the return fixture, and this time it was a 2-2 draw. Also in action on New Year's Day were Concord Rangers. They faced Cheshunt, who took the lead in the 21st minute, but a last-minute equaliser from Ricky Modest gave the Beach Boys a point. Chelmsford still in fourth place. Braintree Town, they've dropped out of the playoff spot, although they're only a couple of points behind. They're currently in ninth. Concord, just above the drop zone on goal difference, currently in 20th place. And last night at Melbourne, Chelmsford City finally played their twice postponed before Christmas FA Trophy tie against Wealdstone. And the Clarets pulled off a bit of a shot, winning by 2-1. Nathan Ferguson, former Southend United player, gave Wealdstone the lead after 21 minutes. And an own goal in the 37th minute from Olamola, who put the ball in his own net, gave the Clarets an equaliser, and then Chelmsford scored a winner, and they will travel to York City in the fourth round of the competition. Meanwhile, in the Isthmian Premier League on Monday, Billericay Town travelled to Bowes and Pitsea, and that match resulted in a goalless draw. It was a win for Canvey Island at Aveley, and also leaders Hornchurch. They were at home to Carl Shorten Athletic, who held them to a 1-1 draw. The Urchins still top, though, 1 point ahead of second place Cray Wanderers, but Hornchurch have got 3 games in hand. Bishop Stortford, Enfield Town and Aveley make up the other playoff spots. Canvey Island just behind Aveley on goal difference in sixth place. Bowes and Pitsea still in the drop zone. They're currently in 20th place. Meanwhile, in the Isthmian North on Monday, Brentwood Town were at home to Tilbury in the Isthmian North, and I was at that match, and after the match I managed to grab a chat with the Brentwood Town manager, Rod Stringer, after his side won their first match after 7 games without defeat, stretching back to late October. They beat Tilbury by 4-2. Here's what he had to say after the match. Well, congratulations. 3 points, great start to 2023. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, obviously it was tough conditions out there with the pitches, you know, like it was just about sort of being playable, really. Although I thought the pitch played quite well, didn't cut up too sad, but it was very heavy, so we sort of went with some what I felt was probably a little bit more physicality in there today, a bit more industrial. Obviously we brought Chrissy in from Billericay on loan, who I thought give us another option up top. We also had a new debut with the lad Sol, who scored the first goal. So yeah, there was a lot of positives.
Well, congratulations.
Thought for the spectacle, I thought it was quite a good game. You know, listen, they're obviously not having the best of seasons, and we haven't had a best of a run lately. So for me, all I wanted to do was try and win another game of football, especially at home. Good crowd here today, decent enough crowd, and just try and get the 3 points and kick on from where we can.
Yeah, you mentioned about Chris Dixon, player you know very well. He played at you at Chelmsford 5-6 years ago. Very experienced striker. Do you think he made a crucial difference today?
I thought he brought a lot to us, even in the change room before the game, even after the game. Chris is a great lad, he's a real good character. But as I said, I've had him at Chelmsford, he's had a fantastic career. You know, played league football, played international football. And for his age, he's a credit because he keeps himself so well. Even got through the 90 minutes on a tough pitch, he never stopped running. And he was a threat. It was a shame that he missed the pen, but he did blame me and said what I put him on pens for. But I thought his all-round game, he was very secure with a ball that got set into him. You know, he's just a great lad, and even the players said, you know, he makes the game easy because he talks so well. So that's a big part of it. People know what he's going to want because he's already told you before the ball comes into him where to be and what he's going to be looking for. So that's experience, and you can't buy that. That is, for any age that he is, the experience it was worth loads to us today, and I think that proved over the 90 minutes.
And the other new boy on the side, Sol, what did you think of his performance?
Yeah, I thought he'd done very well. I thought he'd done really, really well. We brought him in from Redbridge League below, and to be fair, we haven't been able to give him a proper run yet, but I felt when he come on against Hashtag last week, he showed me some moments in there that I quite liked, and we went with him today. We needed that little bit of trickery, that bit of pace. We had Andy Freeman playing on the other side. And I thought he took his first goal very well, and he didn't really do anything wrong throughout the game. Whenever he had the ball, he used it very well, or he caused a threat. And then also with Daniel coming on as a substitute as well, who took a great goal from Flavio, put in a wonderful ball, who had to come on for Conor Hogan, who was playing very well in there. And I'd also like to give a mention to George Crads. I thought George Craddock in there today took a very good goal, and I thought his overall performance was better than I've seen for a while.
Okay, so that's crucially, that's ended a run of seven league games without a win. You're off to Felix Van Walton next. Not an easy place to go. Do you think that's given your side a major confidence boost today?
I'd like to think so. We know it'd be tough up there. We know what it's like. You know, you don't get a lot when you go up to Suffolk, if I'm being honest. We've witnessed that. But look, you know, looking on today's performance, looking with the new one or two faces coming in, I think it's given us a slightly different dimension. The boys are buzzing in now. We know there's a long way to go in this league. And look, we are on the outside looking in, and we will be for a long time. But if we can go there and we can get a result, all of a sudden the season just starts to change. But we've got to take one game at a time, and the next game's going to be a tough one. But same again, why not? You know, we've showed a good performance today. Yes, we need to be better with the goals that we're conceding. Disappointed with that. But overall, we certainly will go to Felixstowe hoping that we can go and get a result.
Right, well done again today. Thanks for your time, Ron.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
So, Brentwood Town's winless streak is over. They're still in 11th place, but back on the winning trail. But that was the end of Tilbury's manager, John Coventry, who was relieved of his duties after the match. He only won four of his 17 games in charge this season, and Tilbury are now fourth from bottom in the table. Elsewhere, Basel United managed a 1-1 draw against New Salamis. Cockleshill Town, bottom of the table without a win all season. They nearly gained a point against league leaders AFC Sudbury, though, but heartbreakingly for them, Sudbury scored a late winner 6 minutes from time. Elsewhere finished East Thurrock United 1, Grays Athletic 2. Haybury Swifts picked up a 1-0 win at Great Wakery Rovers. Malden Tiptree beat Holdbridge Sports by a goal to nil, and Hashtag United's excellent form continued with a 4-0 win away to Witham Town. So Sudbury stayed top, Hashtag in second. Haybridge Swift, Stowmarket Town and Lowestoft Town make up the other playoff spots. At the other end, Coggeshall, as I say, still at the foot of the table. It's nearly 20 to 8. You're listening to the Non-League Hour on Phoenix 98 FM with me, John Chubb. And Joe O'Sullivan, Romford FC's commercial manager, is still with me at the moment. I asked him to stay on because there was a couple more questions that I wanted to ask him. Joe, from your personal point of view, what are your hopes for this season?
Well, John, if you'd have asked me that question this time last year, I mean, It had been difficult, obviously, staying up in the Isthmian North last year. We knew, realistically, that we'd probably be down by probably the middle of January, probably last year. But looking towards this season, at the very start, I'd have said, you know, we've got to be looking top eight, top six, maybe pushing to get in that top four. But it wouldn't have mattered, obviously, because the two at the top just go straight up anyway. The other side of it is now halfway through the season almost, well, most of the teams are other than us. We've got a few games in hand, so hopeful that we can turn that them games in hand into victories. And we've got an awful amount of away games to come. We started the season with an awful amount of home games, which was nice because obviously you get the gate money in early and such. But you've got to realise that travelling away in the better months might suit us.
Yep.
So there might just be a kind of a little bit of a renaissance coming, you know, around Valentine's Day if for the romantics out there. But Romford might have a little bit of luck, a little bit more luck certainly. We've been unlucky in a lot of games, but I'm really confident in Steve. He's got good man management skills. He's tactically aware. He knows a lot of players that aren't at Romford, and the ones that are at Romford aren't of bad quality.
Yeah.
You know, at the start of the season, we were absolutely flying, and then we lost a couple of players, sadly, to other clubs, as can happen at this level, and even in the Isthmian North. I'm really confident. I think we're going to have a great, you know, next 25 or so games in the league. Remaining, I think it's 2023 in the league remaining, and then obviously we've got the Vars to look forward to. This time next week, a lot of the players will be getting pumped up and getting prepared for a lunchtime or afternoon flight on Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th, my birthday.
Day after mine.
Don't want to send me a birthday card. There you go. So I'm just hoping that, you know, Scouse and the lads and all the fans have a great time in Jersey. And if they want to get me anything for my birthday, a very nice win on Jersey on Saturday the 14th will go down very well.
So we talked about your hopes for the new stadium at Westlands. How is that, just to expand on that, how are you hoping for it to be funded?
Long story short, there's a couple of options on the table, as we said before. Plan A... is quite advanced, so I'm told by my other source away from the club. They're also, from what Steve Gardner, our chairman's telling the committee and myself, we're getting near the final furlong and the final fence to actually getting confirmation the funding could be in place very shortly. So I would hope, and I've said this, you know, that the club's a members club, for those that don't know. And I've said this at the club's past AGM, that, you know, the darkest night is before the dawn.
Yep.
And I'm really, really hopeful in the next 6 months we will have funding secured. And then, obviously, if it comes down to it and we've got to find funding to start the planning process in the interim, before we physically have the money in the bank or the letter confirming that the money is on its way, then obviously we'll get the money to start that planning a bit sooner, so we can hopefully call home a bit quicker.
Hopefully, yeah. A couple of other things. You've got a couple of events coming up, I believe. A race night and the Sponsors Networking event.
Yeah, this is breaking news for Phoenix FM tonight. We did have a networking event scheduled before Christmas and sadly Her Majesty the Queen passing away. We decided to call it off out of a mark of respect to her after a long reign. We'll be looking to confirm a date for the networking event, where all the sponsors and any new sponsors will be invited along to, you know, get involved in Romford and try and create the feel-good factor and build upon what the fantastic work we're doing at the club and the other committee members are doing. With the youth section, you know, the stadium planning hopefully coming together and with the finance there soon. Things are looking good. Things are looking good. I won't say looking great. There's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
But things are positive. So we've got the Sponsors Networking event, which I'll confirm a date probably at the end of February, start of March, maybe mid-March. Might try and tie it into St Paddy's night, maybe, who knows? Or St Paddy's Day, I should say, sorry. St Patrick's Day, being an O'Sullivan, I should say it correctly. and also a race night. Coral, so I'm told, are inviting us along to have a race night at Romford Dogs. So any supporters and general footballing fans, if you want to come along and support Romford Football Club and have a gamble, a little gamble, you haven't got a gamble, of course, you can still
please
come
gamble
along.
Responsibly.
Yes, gamble
as they
responsibly,
say.
As they say, exactly. Don't bet what you can't afford to lose. We'll be pleased to see you. And obviously there's a link on the club website where you can go and get yourself a Romford Football Club shirt. We play in a very nice salmon pink kit this season as our away strip, and a fantastic blue strip as well for the home kit.
Okay, and finally, it's just a couple of people who want to say a quick thank you to you for keeping the club going.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in this club just over 2 years or so now. And there's a lot of do-gooders. There's a lot of people that say one thing and do another. There's some really fantastic people at heart and at the core and the centre of Romford Football Club. Steve Gardner needs no further mention, being our chairman for the best part of 30 years now. Colin Ewanson, as our secretary and vice chairman, does great work. There's also the people that don't perhaps get a mention as well. The Paul Adamses, the Keith Prestons, Mike Woods. There's Tim Coyle and Mike Ratcliffe in the ballroom, look after everyone on a match day. And too many people to name, but to be sure, I'm delighted to be on the committee. I'm very committed to Romford, amazingly so. I was born at the old Rush Green Hospital, which is, you know, not too far from the heart of Romford and not too far from where hopefully our new stadium at Westlands will be built soon. So I'm very committed to Romford. I've been following football and non-league football particularly for a long time now. I mean, it's 6.5 years I've been following non-league football. I'm very proud and very happy to be on the committee at Romford, and I'd just like the chance to keep the club going, keep the club pushing forward, and finally, I think, to say to Steve and Colin that without you two, the club wouldn't be here 30 years after its reformation. So, for me, the members, the supporters, and everyone in and around Romford who is a football fan, thank you to you two guys.
Great. Thanks again for coming in, Joe, and best of luck to Romford for the rest of the season.
No problem. Thanks, John. Take care now.
It's Julian Lennon and See You Later Goodbyes. A few more results to run through. On Monday in the Southern League Division 1 Central, Waltham Abbey were away to FC Romania and they won by a goal to nil. They're now in sixth place, Abbey, just outside the playoff spots. Walthamstow didn't actually play. They're currently in 13th. There was a couple of games in the Essex Senior League. On Monday, it finished Ilford nil, Redbridge 2. And on Tuesday night, Enfield, the leaders, extended their lead at the top of the table, beating Housley Town by 3-0. That has put Enfield 8 points clear at the top, ahead of second-placed Redbridge, and have a game in hand on them as well. FC Clacton in third, Stansted fourth, and West Essex are fifth. At the other end of the table, poor old Southend Manor still bottom without a win and on just the 2 points. Meanwhile, there were some games in the third load London Division 1 South on Monday as well. It finished Benfleet 2, Basildon Town 4, Cannonswood 0, North West London 2, Enfield Borough 1, Sporting Bangor United 2, St Margaret's Bury 0, second placed Wormley Rovers 2, and league leaders Frentford, they won 4-1 away to Tower Hamlets, and finally it finished Wivenhoe 0, Burnham Ramblers 2. And we're now into the fourth round stage of the Essex Senior Cup, and there was one match last night. It took place at the Community Stadium, and a young Colchester United side faced Saffron Walden Town of the Essex Senior League, and actually won by 10-0.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
So, looking ahead to the fixtures for the coming week now. First off, on Saturday in the National League, Dagenham and Redbridge have a home fixture against Woking. Southend United, aiming to stay in the playoff spots, they entertain Solihull Moors at Roots Hall. And on Tuesday night, the Daggers are in action again. They have an away match at Aldershot Town. Meanwhile, in the National League South, on Saturday, Chelmsford City, they were at home to Chippenham Town. Braintree Town travelled to Havant and Waterlooville. And Concord Rangers have a long trip down to Somerset. They are going to Taunton Town. Meanwhile, in the Eastbourne Premier League, Billericay Town, they are at home to Potters Bar Town. Avely travelled to Bogden Regis. Canvey Island, tough fixture for them. They're at home to second place Cray Wanderers. Hornchurch leaders, they travelled to Hastings United. Bowes and Pitsey, they are away to fellow strugglers Herne Bay. And in the Eastbourne North on Saturday, East Harwich United have a tough task away to leaders AFC Sudbury. Brentwood Town also have a date in Suffolk there at Felixstowe Walton United. Grays Athletic at home to bottom club Coggeshall Town. Hashtag United currently second at home to Bury. Haybury Swifts take on Basildon United. Holbridge Sports, they take on Stowmarket Town. And Great Wavering Rovers travel to Lowestoft Town. Tilbury face Walden Tiptree and Whittam Town. They are off to Wroxham. And on Tuesday night in the Isthmian North, Brentwood Town travel to Holbridge Sports. Basildon have an away match at Lowestoft and Tilbury host Stowmarket Town. Meanwhile, in the Southern League Division 1 Central, Waltham Abbey, they're at home to third place Ware, and Walthamstow, they will be travelling to Tame United. And Stow in action on and on the road on Tuesday night as well, when they are away to Kempston Rovers. Meanwhile, in the Essex Senior League, just going to have a look at Saturday's fixtures. Romford, as I mentioned earlier, they are away at Sawbridgeworth Town. Oh, there's a few games tomorrow night as well, actually. Barking at home to Athletic Ewan. Buckhurst Hill host leaders Enfield and Wolford Town against FC Clacton. On Saturday, Housley Town play the bottom club, Southend Manor. Ilford against Stansted and White Ends Iron face Redbridge. And also Clapton, struggling Clapton, they were home to Saffron Walden Town, Little Oakley against Takeley, and West Essex, they will be playing at Stanway Rovers. Meanwhile, in Thurlow Nunn Division 1 South, I'm just going to take a quick look at the fixtures there. And we've got St Margaretsbury playing Benfleet, Basildon Town play Stanway Pegasus, Coxwell United versus Tower Hamlets, Leaders Frentford against Enfield Borough, Hackney Wicker playing North West London, Newbury Forest take on Barkingside, Parkview versus Mohun Baker and Sporting, Bergwijn United take on second place Wormley Rovers. Thanks for your company this evening. I've just been reminded, actually, that on Monday night there is a fixture in the Essex Senior Cup. Romford taking on Hornchurch. I nearly forgot those, actually. There is also Harlow Town. Tuesday, Concord Rangers play Grays Athletic in the same competition. Another one on Monday night, Chelmsford City play Coggeshall Town. Witham Town play Surrey United on Tuesday. Two other ties on Tuesday, Barrows and Pitsy play Canvey Island and Southend United versus Braintree Town. Thanks very much for your company this evening. Hope you can join me on Saturday afternoon for Phoenix Sport between 3 and 6pm. If not, I'm going to be back next Thursday between 7 and 8pm with another non-league hour. Thanks again to Steve Butterworth and Joe O'Sullivan. Best of luck to Romford. It seems things are going well for them, and there's a great many people who are very passionate indeed about the club. Stick around, because between 8 and 10 Gareth Williams is in the house and he's going to be doing Bumper to Bumper. I'm going to sign off with Sly and the Family Stone. A very good night to you.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
What a bear. What a bear. Still checking each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway, cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.